Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Pacers' dream of their first NBA title very much alive. They're 2 wins away from a championship.
Indiana was great last night. I mean, across the board, offense, defense, special teams, not really special teams, coaching. The Pacers lead Oklahoma City 2-1. And I look stupid for thinking that OKC would not have a challenge in this series. Picked them in 5, said maybe 6. This thing's going to 7. It is definitely going the distance. Good morning, everybody. Max will keep you updated on day 1 of the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Playing relatively easy this morning. I've been watching since very early this morning. Compared to some of the dire predictions of how difficult it would be, I guess it was a little damp at Oakmont this morning. J.J. Spaun at 4-under through 9 holes is your leader so far. Rory's playing well. There are 7 or 8 guys under par right now. Now, there are another 60-something that are either even or over par, but still, 4-under is a pretty good first 9 holes for J.J. Spaun. Long way to go. Looking forward to watching it this weekend, including this afternoon when Scheffler and some of the other big names go off. I'm going to get to game 2 in a moment, but I wanted to start the show with this. Tap writes, Kevin, I spent time yesterday and found the same thing you did. I couldn't find one NFC East prediction for the Commanders. All Eagles. Seems crazy we're not getting more respect after winning 12 games last year. Tap, I'll remind you, we actually won 14 games, if you count 2 road playoff games, which were really more important than the 12 that got him there. No, the 12 got him there and allowed for that. I pointed out yesterday that, you know, we're now into that time of the year where you start to see all of the, you know, it used to be a race for some of us to Street and Smith and Sporting News, you know, actual magazines that had all of the preseason predictions. I don't even know if they print Street and Smith anymore or Sporting News or any of those. But we are at that point in the football calendar where these are going to start coming out. All of the preseason predictions will start to come out, and obviously we'll get to many more of them in the days right before the season begins. But yeah, I pointed out that I think I had read like 10 different, and some of them were super obscure, you know, NFC East predictions for next year. And by the way, I failed to point out everybody had Washington as a wild card team except for one, I think. I think there was one that I read that didn't have Washington as a wild card team. Look, first of all, none of it matters. They're going to go ahead and play the games anyway, regardless of what the predictions are. Secondly, we know this about the NFL. The NFL just changes so much. It's year to year. It's month to month. It's really week to week. Like Washington last year, is going to rise up from out of nowhere. You know, it's going to be maybe it's a New England with Drake May in the AFC East. Maybe it is a Raiders with Geno Smith in the AFC West. Maybe it's Caleb Williams with Ben Johnson in year one with the new coach in the NFC North. You know, the 49ers were a last place team last year. Maybe it's the Niners that end up, you know, winning the NFC West. I mean, you know, all of these... There was a stretch, I think it was 14 consecutive years from like 2004 through 2018 or something like that, in which on average about 48% of the playoff teams were teams that were not in the postseason the year before. And therefore, in most of those instances, they weren't predicted to be playoff teams either. So that's the nature of this time of year. I mean, the NFL is the ultimate, you know, coin flip league. I think that until Washington proves that their roster is significantly improved, then it only makes sense that the Eagles be the pick to win the NFC East. First of all, recent impressions, you know, recency bias. The Eagles were dominant in the Super Bowl. They were dominant down the stretch of the season. They have, I think, debatably the best 1 through 53 roster in the league. And Washington's roster, we talked about it going into the NFC title game last year. There were only two or three players you could take from Washington's 22 starters and say they would definitely start for Philadelphia. You know, Jaden for one, Terry maybe. I think I'd put him ahead of Devontae Smith. And then maybe a guy like Frankie Louvu, you know, or Wagner. I don't know. The Eagles were so good on defense. It'd be hard to take anybody from Washington's defense and put him into the starting lineup of Philadelphia's defense. But I get it. I guess one of the reasons I brought it up yesterday is I thought people who tend to follow the league for a long period of time will go out on a limb, and it's not even going out on a major limb, and predict things that are, you know, maybe against the grain. And look, one of the things that would not be against the grain is that the NFC East has not had a repeat champion, as we all know, since 2004. I mean, 20 consecutive years of a new champion each season. And so the obvious selection this year, if it continues, it would be Washington. But again, none of this really matters. It really doesn't. They are going to play these games, and the season will develop and grind over 18 regular season weeks, 17 games in ways that we can't even imagine right now. That's the thing, is like all of the definitive, conclusive kind of opinion making this time of year. It's so silly when it comes to this league. The only thing you can count on, really, is teams that have great quarterbacks. But even then, you are susceptible to that quarterback going down and changing completely the team season. And that's the position that Washington's never been in and is now in. And that's the comfort, is that if Jaden Daniels stays upright and healthy, doesn't mean they're going to win 12 games again. Doesn't even mean they're going to be in the postseason again. Cincinnati's got Joe Burrow, and they weren't in the playoffs last year, but they did win 9 games, and they had a fighting chance down the stretch. And I think when you have that, when you've got elite-level quarterback play, that's what you're pretty much guaranteed of year in and year out if the quarterback is healthy. You're guaranteed to have a team that will more likely than not win more games than it loses. Even if it's like Cincinnati last year, one game more, which wasn't enough to make the postseason. Washington won 12 last year with a bad defense. But look at what they had at quarterback. Look at what they had as an offense because of that quarterback. I don't think we're going to get anything less than that offensively. I understand that the schedule on paper right now looks much tougher. But again, you know, going into these NFL seasons, that's about the only thing you can count on. You know, Buffalo is going to be a team that wins more games than it loses because of Josh Allen. Same with Baltimore, as long as Lamar Jackson stays healthy. Same with Kansas City, as long as Patrick Mahomes stays healthy. Cincinnati should still win more games than it loses, as long as Joe Burrow's out there throwing it to T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. And they had to fight to get there last year. Man, you go back and you look at Cincinnati's season last year, they lost so many games they should have won. They lost a game to Kansas City in week two, remember? There was a penalty late in the game that crushed them. They had a missed field goal and got very conservative in overtime against Baltimore, ended up losing that game. They had that other Baltimore game that they lost when they went for two at the end. I think they went for two at the end and lost. I mean, they had so many games right there. Like the game, I'm looking at it right now. Their losses were by, listen to this. Cincinnati went 9-8 last year, okay? Their losses were by 6, 1, 5, 3 in overtime. They lost by 20 to Philadelphia. And then they lost by 1, 7, and 6. Every single loss was by a touchdown or less, with the exception of getting pounded by Philadelphia at home in late October. And that's what Joe Burrow playing 17 games guarantees you. You're going to be a team that more likely than not is going to win more than you lose and is going to have a really good chance in the games that you lose, is what they had. And that's what I think Washington has now. But, you know, in thinking about the upcoming season, when you take all of those other teams that don't have Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Jackson, and I think Daniels is in that category now. It's basically a 7-10 to 10-7 league. You know, you stay healthy, you got a chance to win 10. You don't stay healthy, you're probably going to win 7 or closer to 7. Maybe it's a 6-11 to 11-6 spread, somewhere in there. And you just don't know because you can't predict health. I mean, in looking at the NFC looks loaded, like it really does. We've talked a lot about that, with obviously the Eagles having maybe the best roster in the league. Detroit, two new coordinators, but a really good roster. You know, in that division, the Packers have a decent roster. The Vikings have a decent roster, but questions at quarterback. Chicago has a good roster, questions at quarterback, but a new head coach. Tampa, well-coached and a decent football team, but they're not elite at quarterback with Baker Mayfield. And then, you know, Matt Stafford is close enough to that category of elite where you got to figure if he plays 17, the Rams have a good chance to win more than they lose. And I keep an eye on San Francisco this year. I think people have written their obit a bit too prematurely. God, there are some teams in the NFC. And obviously in our division, you know, it's Philly and Washington in terms of the two best teams. I don't think there's any doubt about it, but you could certainly argue Dallas's roster is equal to or better than Washington's. But I take number 5 over Dak Prescott every day of the week, twice on Sunday. All right, thank you, Tap. Yeah, we're going to see that. Who cares? Who cares? Man, in thinking just about one other thing as it relates to this, I really wish that the schedule makers had given us one of the two Philadelphia games much earlier in the season. I didn't need it opening night because I think, you know, week one is always a major head fake. But sometime, you know, in October, early November, you know, a heavyweight showdown in the NFC East. And instead, we got to wait until December 20th. You know, one of the things that I loved about last year and talked a lot about it is just the idea that after kind of not being a part of the rivalries in the NFC East for so long because the team was so bad and so mocked by the other three. I mean, Dallas-Philadelphia has been, in the 21st century, the rivalry in the NFC East. And then certainly the Giants and Eagles and Giants and Cowboys have played more meaningful games in the 21st century than Washington has with any of the three teams. And one of the things that I loved about last year is this return to kind of feeling like, hey, we're now a relevant member of the NFC East again. And what comes with that are heavyweight matchups against our, you know, historical rivals. And it looks like last year was the beginning of maybe something where Washington and Philadelphia for the next several years takes over the top rivalry, you know, position on the rivalry mantle in the NFC East. They played three times. When you play three times in a year, that's the beginning of something. You know, that was kind of what Pittsburgh and Baltimore, how they started off. They played in the playoffs a couple of times, head-to-head. You know, playing Philly in the NFC Championship game, not even in a wild card round game or a divisional round game, but in the final four, the final two of the NFC. I really, you know, I know we talked about this when the schedule came out, but man, it seems like to me, and we had our guy on the show, Mike North, and he's great in talking about the schedule and some of the reasons why. The bottom line is, you know, one of the reasons Philly and Washington are closing the season against each other is that they just view Dallas and Philadelphia as more marquee. Still, they do. I would have loved to have had just give me one of those two Philly games much earlier. What if we get to December 20th? I mean, that's the third to last game of the year. That may not be... That game might be meaningless. And certainly the finale could be meaningless. But what could also be the case, obviously, is you've got 11-3 Philadelphia, 11-3 Washington, playing it out over twice over the final 3 weeks. That would be thrilling, for sure. And, you know, let's hope that that ends up being the possibility. All right. Yeah. Tap, thanks for that. And I know that this time of year, you know this too, it doesn't mean anything, but it's justified. I mean, if I were being super objective and not having any sort of contrarian thought, you know, utilized, I'd look at the two, you know, rosters. I'd say, yeah, Philly probably wins the NFC East by a game over Washington. You know, they go 12-5, Washington goes 11-6, something like that. But Washington ends up having a really good chance to be a 5 seed, you know, the first wild card team, you know, and play maybe, you know, the NFC South winner again, like Tampa on the road in the first round, something like that. I certainly wouldn't pick Washington in the NFC any worse going into next year than, say, the second wild card team, which is what they were last year. I could certainly see a scenario in which the NFC West produces two high-level teams as well in the 49ers and the Rams. I could see that in the NFC North. We saw it last year, obviously, with Detroit and Minnesota. Minnesota's really an interesting squad. You have no idea what you're going to get with J.J. McCarthy. He's not played one NFL regular season game. By the way, you know who the backup is? Actually, I don't know if he's won the backup position, but Sam Howell is in Minnesota. And by the way, that is a great spot for him. A great spot for him. I do think he's got some talent. I do think he is a backup quarterback in the league. I think that there was some concern after he really looked horrible in his limited opportunities in Seattle last year that he might actually end up out of the league. But to be in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, that gives you, you know, that's a top four or five or five situation for a quarterback. So if J.J. McCarthy doesn't, you know, work out, or if he doesn't get healthy, could Sam Howell be Sam Darnold for the Vikings? I don't know that he could be Sam Darnold. Darnold had major flaws, too, that were really exposed in the final two games of the season last year. By the way, you know, Sam Darnold went to Seattle. There have been stories written out of Seattle that Sam Darnold has not looked good, and a guy like Jalen Milroe, who they picked in the draft, could actually end up being the starting quarterback in Seattle. I find that hard to believe. They paid Darnold not a lot. Darnold did not get, you know, we talked about this towards the end of last year. Nobody lost more money in two games in recent NFL history than Sam Darnold did. Sam Darnold was headed towards a massive contract, and he was so awful against Detroit in that season finale for the number one seed. And then the game he had against the Rams in the postseason was a guy that, you know, his flaws were exposed. He just doesn't see it quickly enough. He can throw it. He's mobile, you know, and if number one's there, man, he can zing it in there. But he doesn't see it quickly enough. And he was sacked, what, 8, 9, 10 times in that playoff game against the Rams, and threw the ball basically, you know, to the almost the other team three times in the end zone on fourth downs against Detroit. But anyway, yeah, Minnesota to me is an interesting team. So well coached, excellent defensively, well coached defensively, but of the teams in the NFC North, they're the ones with a big question mark at quarterback. I mean, I guess you, Caleb Williams is a question mark, but Goff, Jordan Love, you've got to expect Caleb Williams, if he's going to be anything, to take a jump this year with Ben Johnson. But we have no idea what J.J. McCarthy is going to be. Although McCarthy, too, like Sam Howell, as his backup or third stringer, has the benefit of having an incredible quarterback coach. All right, the NBA playoffs last night. I'm going to get to it in this next segment. That game was... I know that I sort of go overboard on these playoff games. That's about as intense defensively for 48 minutes by both teams in a game, in any sport, you will ever see. Why did Indiana prevail? I'll have the answer for you. My opinion, next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Halliburton on the drive. Can't get it. Toppin on the follow. Obi Toppin.
Yeah, that gave them a 5-point lead in the fourth quarter. Indiana wins game two last night, 116-107. They have a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals. Who's going to win this series and why? Phone lines are open. We're going to try to do some NBA Finals talk here. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Who's going to win this series and why? 2-1, the Pacers lead it. They are still an underdog in this series, even with a 2-1 series lead. But they won last night, and they deserved to win the game last night. Let me just say that these three games, the intensity of the defensive effort on both sides is just incredible. And now both of these teams have benches so that they can come in with players. You're not playing, 48 minutes. Even the star players are playing, 38 to 42, something like that. But the intensity of this game, the crowds in this series in Oklahoma City and then last night in Indy have been off the charts. I mean, this has been atmosphere, intensity, and at times incredible defensive basketball, and at times pretty good offensive basketball, and at times pretty sloppy. I thought Oklahoma City was incredibly sloppy last night. I'll get to that in a moment. But, kind of starts last night with, I think, Indiana's defense. We've talked so much about Oklahoma City's defense. I think they're one of the best defensive teams in a postseason I've watched in my NBA playoff watching life. They're certainly up there. They've got 9-10 guys that are all excellent defensively. They can switch 1 through 5 with any lineup they have on the floor. They're great on ball defenders. They're great, anticipatory defenders. They get, hands on balls. They deflect balls. They just wreak havoc. And I think undersold in this series and in this postseason has been Indiana's defense. It's excellent. They defend as well. I mean, Nembhard and Turner and Nesmith and Siakam, they can really guard as well. They come in with guys off the bench that are going to give you everything they have. Number one reason Indiana won last night is their 48-minute and at times full court pressure defense just wore Oklahoma City out. Oklahoma City ended up with a bunch of turnovers. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But I think Indiana's defense was number one. Number two, Tyrese Haliburton came out last night with the intention of not having a 3-point or a 4-point or a 5-point first half. He was outstanding in the game. He was aggressive. And his aggressiveness as a scorer made it so much easier for the other four players on the floor. He ended up with 11 assists, 22 points on 9 of 17. This was not a 2-for-7 performance or a 2-for-8 performance. He had 22. He was 4-for-8 from behind the arc. He had 9 rebounds, 11 assists. He was 1 rebound away from a triple-double, had a couple of steals. He was outstanding. The bench for Indiana outscored Oklahoma City's bench 49-18, led by Benedict Mathurin. He was sensational. He's had some moments during this postseason. I'll be honest with you. Before this postseason began, because he was hurt last year, I didn't really know that he was this good. I just don't pay attention that much to the regular season. He was so good last night. In fact, when you watch Benedict Mathurin, who was the 6th pick in the 2022 draft out of Arizona, he has, I think, the ability to be a number one, worst case, a number two on a contending team. He's that good. He is just a flat out bucket getter. I mean, he really can score. He had 27 off the bench last night in 22 minutes. He was outstanding. TJ McConnell, we've talked about him during this postseason. God, he was good last night. He had 5 steals in 15 minutes. 5 steals in 15 minutes. One player. 3 of those steals were on inbounds passes that led to easy buckets. He was great. Man, is he a He probes, you know, Steve Nash style. Nash was one of those first guys that would just keep the dribble alive forever, you know, and just probe and, you know, into the paint and then around, you know, underneath the basket on the baseline until he'd find somebody or score. McConnell's got, you know, a poor man's version of Nash game, but he's been outstanding. Obi Toppin, I mean, my God, does this guy get up? And can he shoot it? He didn't make threes last night, but he's been making them all series long. Indiana was great. They were great defensively. Their bench was outstanding. Mathurin was great. McConnell was great. Halliburton set the tone by being more aggressive, more assertive offensively. And then we get to Oklahoma City. Look, they had, you know, an 8-point lead at the end of the first quarter. They had a 5-point lead going into the fourth quarter. A couple of things. Number one, Jalen Williams right now, who is considered to be kind of the number two on OKC after Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I actually think down the road Holmgren's going to become a star, a legit star. Jalen Williams is very, very up and down. He is way too aggressive at times to the detriment of their half-court offense. He is a turnover waiting to happen in this series. And he's also capable of getting 26 points, which he did last night in his best shooting game of the series. He missed some key free throws, though, for sure, when they were trying to get back into the game at the end. But I sometimes just sense that Jalen Williams is, look, he's really good. I just don't think he feels the game at times as much as he should. And I think there were some real throwaways and bad plays by Jalen Williams. At one point, I think I texted Legler in the first half and I said, Jay Williams is an absolute mess right now. And from that point forward, he basically went and scored in like 23 points. I think he had 3 or 4 points at the time, and he had 3 or 4 turnovers, and then he went off the rest of the game. But his game right now has to be more consistent and more buttoned up, or they're going to struggle to win in Indiana. And they got to win one game in Indianapolis to win this series. SGA last night, look, bottom line is he got worn out. And this would be the thing for me that was most frustrating. I bet Oklahoma City last night laying 5.5. I've bet them in every single game, so I'm now 1-2 in the finals. I did not bet them to win the series. It was such a heavy price. I almost put money on them to win in 5 at +3 something. I forget what it was. I didn't do that. But I had them last night laying the 5.5. I think right now that Oklahoma City's being outcoached. Look, Rick Carlisle does that to a lot of people. They came out last night and they basically, I mean, this was like, you know, you don't see full court pressure at the NBA level for 48 minutes. Now, it's not like they're going like full court press and we're trapping and we're, no, it's picking up full court man to man. You basketball people are going to understand when I say this. You've got to look to throw over top of that kind of pressure. Using a big like Hartenstein or Holmgren, you know, coming down to the free throw line area, throw it over the top of the inbound pass defender and let him turn, a big guy turn and either make another pass, or if he's got to go back to your ball handler, that's fine, but you've created some space. They're inbounding the ball consistently right underneath their own bucket. And then you're asking, whether it's Jalen Williams or, I think even more importantly, SGA, to handle the pressure by themselves with the dribble. It's too much work. Asking Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to bring the ball up against intense full-court pressure over the 42 minutes he was in the game, and let's say he was responsible for bringing up the ball 50% of the time. It's too physically draining. Stop doing that. Throw over top and make them pay for the pressure. And they're not doing that. And then when they do, you know, handle the pressure and get it over the timeline just before the 8-second count, you're now into a position where you're facing a set defense and you've got 16 seconds or less on the shot clock, and you're getting pressed out, man. And they really had a plan for SGA last night. It was really interesting watching Nembhard in particular guard him and really force him into help over and over again. And I just don't think Oklahoma City, I think their one weakness more than anything else is they're not a great half-court offensive team. They rely on their defense to generate a lot of their offense. And it's done that all year long. Look, they've got shot makers. I'm not suggesting they can't, you know, that they're going to, if they're forced to run half court sets for the majority of games, that they can't win those games. Of course they can, and they have. But it's not pretty. You know, they don't run a lot of sets. You'll see them coming out of timeouts. They rely on their MVP to be a creator, but Indiana had a plan for him last night. The biggest thing, though, is they had 17 turnovers last night. I would say that, like when OKC turned Indiana over to a large extent, that it was mostly because of what Indiana was doing defensively. But they had three inbounds passes picked off by TJ McConnell. That's lazy. When the ball goes through the bucket and somebody jumps out of bounds and throws it in and has that ball picked off, that's bad. That is three easy buckets, easy possessions. If you're going to turn the ball over, you better do it on the other end of the floor and not on the perimeter. They're turning it over right underneath their own bucket, and they just gave up way too many. There was a stretch in the fourth quarter. It was 95-91 OKC. They had multiple possessions to go up six, and they turned it over on multiple possessions. Jalen Williams had one of his horrific turnovers, and they threw the ball inbounds to McConnell, who laid it in, and the score was tied. Can't do that. I would say out of the 17 turnovers, Indiana was responsible, don't get me wrong, for a big portion of them. They had 13 steals, but some of those steals were hand-delivered by OKC. You can't throw the ball in underneath your own bucket to the other team. You're an NBA team. Have something to get the ball in bounds. But I can't believe they don't use their bigs against that pressure. Bring Hartenstein, bring Holmgren down to the free throw line and throw over the inbounds pressure. Let those guys, by the way, Holmgren can bring it up. And if you're bringing it up against, say, a Siakam or a Bryant or a Toppin, that's easier than SGA trying to bring it up against some of the pressure that Indiana's throwing on him. And it's too much for him to do it. That's a major adjustment to me. You got to handle full court pressure better than that. You're an NBA team. What are you doing? They turned the ball over five times in the backcourt. In the backcourt. Can't do that at the NBA level. And even beyond that, when they are getting the ball up court, it's against intense pressure that's burning a lot of the shot clock. It's wearing them out physically, especially Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And they're left with too little time to run anything super constructive offensively. And they end up, it ends up devolving into a lot of one-on-one play and creation. And yet, there they were. They still had a chance to win. This was Indiana's best game by far. It was their best defensive game by far. I thought that they were the better team last night for the first time out of the three games, even though they won game one. I thought there were things about the game for OKC for the first time in this series that were a bit alarming. Indiana made a lot of shots. They shot 52% from the field. They shot 55% in the first half. But a lot of that was off of their defense, man. Their defense was sensational. And OKC's got to find a better way to handle the pressure. You guys out there that coach, you know. Throw over top of it a couple of times and just turn it into a layup or a dunk on the other end and you'll get them out of it. And they never threw over top. And when they do, they're not attacking. Use the bigs to beat the pressure. All right. Look, what happens next on Friday night? Indiana showed me something last night for the first time in the series. Not that I haven't seen their capability. I just thought Oklahoma City was a much better team. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander was out of gas at the end of that game. Just out of gas. He had some, by the way, speaking of turnovers, he had some horrific turnovers that were somewhat forced, but there were a couple of passes in reversing the ball where Halliburton, they saw it coming. You know, they forced him into help, and then when he tried to reverse the ball, they had somebody waiting there for that pass, and it turned into a couple of easy buckets. Indiana got a lot of easy points last night. In fact, let me just see what the they had 21 points off of the total, my fault, not 17, 19 turnovers. Okay, 21 points off of 19 turnovers. I would say out of the 19, a good 11 or 12 were forced, but a good 7 to 8 of them were really sloppy, lazy on OKC's part. And really, they looked poorly structured, poorly planned for it. They're going to have to fix that on Friday night, or there's a chance they could go back to OKC down 3-1. I've changed my mind a little bit on this series. After seeing last night and seeing Oklahoma City not adjust to some of the things that Indiana did, this series is going 7. I think somehow, some way, there's going to be a 7th and deciding game in the NBA Finals this year. That game would be in Oklahoma City. By the way, there's no weekend game. No Saturday. There's a Friday night game. No Sunday night game. You got to wait till Monday night. What are they doing? Don't give us a Sunday night game. All right, 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Phone lines open. Who wins this series and why? Taking NBA Finals calls for those of you that want to weigh in. Phone lines are open. Who wins the series and why? I'll give you my answer when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right. As you just heard, the Indiana Pacers are able to pull away with the win versus Oklahoma City, 116-107. It's the first NBA Finals home game for the Pacers in 25 years, and the place was rocking. Benedict Mathurin scored the most NBA Finals points off the bench since Jason Terry with 27, and the Pacers improved to 8-0 in the playoffs when Caitlin Clark is in attendance. Per Adam Schefter, the Bengals' first-round pick Shamar Stewart has left mandatory minicamp. This following a disagreement in contract language that would allow the Bengals to void future guaranteed money. As for a U.S. Open update, J.J. Spawn out in front with 4-under. He's through 12 holes. Gary Woodland right behind him with at 3-under through 9. Adam Scott, Siwoo Kim, Thomas Dietrich, and Thriston Lawrence all sit at 2-under. The Nats, they lose to the Mets by a score of 5-0. Rough night for Jake Irvin as he gives up 5 hits and 4 earned runs. Today, they will be taking on the Mets in a day game. First pitch is at 1:10, and Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:40. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We'll keep you up to date on the U.S. Open first round at Oakmont. Also, clearly, what goes on at minicamp in the final day. Noah Brown got injured yesterday. No details on that as of now, but if we get something, we will let you know. We're going to talk a little bit about Terry's contract, but also look ahead to Jaden's contract in 2027 with the founder of Spot Rack. I reference Spot Rack all the time. Mike Gennetti will be on the show with us today. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Who wins the NBA Finals and why? So at this point, Oklahoma City, roughly a minus 250 favorite still to win the series, down 2-1. I like OKC in 7 now. I think this thing's going 7 games. Oklahoma City's just too good defensively to lose this series, say 4-2. I still see them winning at least 2 more games and then winning a 7th and deciding game. But my view has definitely changed from where I was before last night. You know, Indiana stole, flat out stole game one. Halliburton hit the big shot. He was so clutch at the end of that game. But they had been outplayed for 46 of the 48 minutes, and their only lead came with 0.3 seconds left. And then they destroyed Indiana in game two. Halliburton had gone missing, you know, in game two. And I thought there was a chance Oklahoma City would not only win one, but maybe both in Indiana. Well, they can still win one. But last night changed my mind about sort of the length of this series. Indiana's defense was really good. It's been really good. It's just that Oklahoma City's defense has been historically good. But I've also felt like Mark Daigneault did not do a good job handling the pressure. They got into too many unforced errors. They got into too many possessions where SGA was worn out because of his ball handling responsibilities. Can't allow that to happen. So I like OKC still, but I like them to win this series in 7. Max, what do you say?
Yeah, the 7 game, like, I mean, I told you I really wanted to do the contrarian thing at the beginning of this series and take the Pacers, and they've been locking down. The depth guys have stepped up, like Nesmith, Nembhard, Benedict Mathurin last night was incredible. I could very well see this going 7, especially if Oklahoma City just takes a little bit too long to adjust to things. I could see the Pacers taking it all the way.
If you like basketball, the intensity of these games and the effort expended, especially on the defensive end of the floor, is really fun to watch. You know, it's the opposite of what you see in the regular season. All right, who wins the NBA Finals and why? Let's start with Ralphie in Rockville. Ralphie, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I got to say OKC is going to win just because of the talent. I think they're the most talented team in terms of, you know, the defensive part of the game. But, you know, OKC's coach, Mark Dangano, he's struggling a lot these playoffs.
I agree.
With adjustments. He got out coached by David Adelman constantly in the Denver series. Denver should have won that game if Aaron Gordon was healthy. One thing I don't understand.
If Porter had been healthy, they may have won that series.
Exactly, and that shouldn't be the case. You know, Sam Presti has to do a better job with these coaches.
Tells you how great Jokic is. Honestly, I talked about this with Joe Halsh yesterday when he was on. I said, you know, Denver had a chance to win game four. They had a chance to win game five against that team, Oklahoma City. It just speaks to the Joker's greatness. But go ahead.
For sure. For sure. Definitely. Cason Wallace should not be starting. I trust Aaron Wiggins more than Cason Wallace. That's just ridiculous to me. I don't understand what he's doing. And the Hartenstein thing, everybody's saying that. That's like almost everybody saying that. We don't know what is he doing. And another thing, I'll let you go. Rick Carlisle, he has a great feel for the game. You can tell that he understands the game and he's adapted to the new play style. He has the guys playing at a high pace, and it feels like the other coach is just making adjustments based off analytics. And then the last thing I want to say is the media never brings up how everybody always says Carlisle is one of the greatest coaches in the game, but they never bring up how he elected to leave Dallas and Luka to coach a more team-oriented play style instead of the iso ball. They never bring that up. I don't know why that is. You know, and you can see he hated the iso ball. You can tell.
I'm just really happy
for Rick Carlisle.
No, his team is much more in the realm of the style that I like to watch personally, where more than one player's involved on an offensive possession. Thanks for the call, and it's a good call, Ralphie. Look, they started with Cason Wallace in game one, and a lot of people thought that was ridiculous. Just roll out the two bigs and make Indiana adjust. I actually have liked the way they've played when Hartenstein and Holmgren have been in the game at the same time. Aaron Wiggins did not play well last night after playing great at home, and it's interesting how that works. You know, there's no real explanation for role players play better at home than they do on the road. I don't think that that's always the case, but there definitely is more comfort at home for role players, bench players. Sabah knows basketball. Her daughter was an all-time three-point D3 player. What do you say? Who do you like and why?
Kevin. Oh, Kevin, you owe Halliburton. Oh, this man is amazing.
What'd you say? I missed what you said. Sorry.
Halliburton.
I owe what?
An apology. You owe Halliburton an apology. He is elite. Let me show you why. So, what happens with OKC? They're like the guys that are all talented and quick and fast and all energetic, and their games are like sprints. By the time they get to fourth quarter, if they're not way ahead, they're exhausted. Whereas Halliburton and the gang, in Indiana, they know that a basketball game is a marathon. You have to pace yourself and be ready for the fourth quarter. SGA, your elite guy, the MVP of the league, made one basket, and he did something very, very bad at the end of the fourth quarter, about 2 minutes to go. I think they were like down three. They had a chance, like they were still kind of in it. And Halliburton, the guy who's just a regular guy, he actually was running out of time, turned on the corner, and just threw up a three, knowing it wasn't going to go in. Well, SGA watches it while Halliburton goes and gets the rebound.
Yeah, he was exhausted.
And then they end up getting fouled. That was huge. And to me, that's elite, Kevin. That's what I'm talking about. And these guys coming off the bench, and Nesmith in the fourth quarter, and they're out coaching OKC. I don't know what all you guys see in OKC, but I see this ending in six with Indiana winning.
So, two things about you, I love you. You know I do. But you do this all the time. First of all, you create straw man arguments all the time. No one's called Tyrese Halliburton regular. Okay, just made that up completely. The conversation has been star or superstar. So let's talk about things in which we've talked about them. That's number one. I don't think he's a superstar, not yet anyway. I think he could be on the way. I love his game. Don't get me wrong, but the other thing you do, and you used to do this with some of the quarterbacks, the one that you loved in particular, after a moment of greatness, you're the first one on the phone lines. You didn't call in after he had 5 points through three quarters in game two and was literally missing in action in game two through three quarters. So there's a lot to Tyrese Haliburton here. It's complex. He is clutch. There's no doubt about that. His skill level, his talent level is star. He is a star player. Don't get me wrong. But I think you could argue that Siakam is just as good and just as much a star as Haliburton is. Until he comes to every single game during a postseason with the aggressiveness that he came with last night, he's a star, not a superstar, in my opinion.
Okay, so why is SGA allowed to just disappear in the fourth quarter, and why is Ant-Man allowed to score like 9
first of all,
or 8
SGA,
or 7?
SGA, you realize he was averaging 36 points a game heading into last night.
Yeah, but it doesn't
matter. SGA is a scoring machine.
They're empty points. And what about Ant-Man? Everybody
empty
wants to make
points.
Michael Jordan. He's
how can you say the 34 in game two were empty points on 11 of 21?
Wait, I'm talking about Ant-Man. How about Ant-Man?
He's what
not
about
as good
him?
As Haliburton. He disappeared in the playoffs. He had games where he hardly scored anything.
Look, we're talking about two different things. If you're talking about who's a really good closer, Halliburton's an excellent closer. There is no doubt about that. And that's why he's got a chance to sort of elevate to that superstar level, no doubt. He just has to be more consistent, like, by the way, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is.
The other guys,
I will say this, that SGA got worn out last night. He got worn out. It was a great job by Indiana defensively.
That's not what superstars do. They're supposed to be. He's MVP of the league. I expect more from him. So that's all I'm saying.
So you expect more than averaging 30 a game in the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I do. I expect him to do it when it matters most. Just like you were complaining that Haliburton only scored points in the fourth quarter last game because the game was over. Why are you okay with that? Points
well, it was. That, I mean, every case is different. He had 5 points going into the fourth quarter when they were down 20, and he scored 12 points in the fourth quarter that literally had no impact on the game.
Well, Haliburton better get MVP if they win this, and it better not be Siakam.
Siakam got MVP in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I was surprised by that. You know I was, because I thought he was great against the Knicks. Thanks, Sabah. Regular. No one's referred to Tyrese Haliburton as regular. Rudy, go ahead. Who's going to win the series and why?
Hey, Kevin. Look, I think Indiana has a chance. I'm not rooting for anybody. I just think it's a great series. I think that, you know, when we first went into it, you know, you did say that Oklahoma had a better roster and everything else. But, you know, Indiana is proving they have just as many great athletes as Oklahoma does. And who is covering Siakam? You know, nobody can check him. They put a big on him, taking him outside. Put a small on him, he posting him up inside.
He's something else, man. So, he is something else.
Yeah. But I was telling the guy who answered the phone, Max, I believe. I'm sorry, Hope.
Yep.
Not knowing you are. But I was telling him that, you know, if Indiana can stay within striking distance going into the fourth quarter, that's when they are really turning it up. They're using the same method that Oklahoma City uses. You know, they're turning up defensive pressure, you know, and as you say, tiring them out, you know, where they don't have the legs to shoot those three-pointers and everything else at the end.
They're also not very organized offensively, and that's the problem I have watching Oklahoma City in half-court sets offensively versus Indiana. Indiana is better coached when they're forced to run sets and get good shots offensively. And they do have great players. I didn't really talk as much about roster as I talked about Oklahoma City defensively. I just thought would be overwhelming in this series. And they were in game one and game two, but they lost one of those games, you know, at the very end. So we'll see how it plays out. But good call. Appreciate it, Rudy. For those of you who I missed, we can come back to it maybe later on in the show or tomorrow. I did want to get to minicamp, some of the things that happened yesterday, and contemplate, you know, a world without Noah Brown. But we don't know if it's a serious injury or not. They don't have to report anything right now. More on Washington's football team and this mandatory minicamp when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.